as I was saying a little bit earlier, there's a difference. Now, please understand me. Scripture teaches both of these things, okay? Us being in Christ and Christ being in us. It teaches both things. But there's a difference in the mindset that happens when we consider being in something or something being in us. Okay? I like to be in a swimming pool. Not necessarily keen on the swimming pool being inside of me. Okay? There's a difference. One's inside of the other. They're both kind of combined or whatever. But the difference in the mindset of having Christ in us and us being in Christ is that, you know, and part of what Scripture teaches in the Christ being in us is the power within us to do and to perform the will of God, being in us to give us strength, encouragement, power, those things. And there's certainly a lot of teaching about that, and it's certainly valid. The problem is that sometimes we walk into this mindset that says, I will invite, like a guest, I will invite Christ to come into my home. But we all know when you have guests over to your home, there are parts of your house that are off limits. We shut bedroom doors because we may not have made up our bed. Now, that may just be my house. I don't know. But closets, you know, especially kids' bedroom closets, are probably not an area where you invite guests to go, hey, come look at this closet. Because stuff's just been crammed in there and crowded in there, and you have dirty clothes, clean clothes, whatever. It's just all kind of, there may be certain rooms or places, you know, maybe the attic. How many of you walk, if I came over to your house, you'd go, oh, I'd just love to show you my attic. It's so awesome. Or let's crawl under my house in that crawl space under the house, because it is just like the best place in the world. You know, there are certain places where, you know, you don't invite people to go to. And that becomes our mentality sometimes when we invite Christ to come into us. It's like a guest. Come into my life, Christ. Come in. I want you in my life. Specifically in these areas of my life. And you see what the mindset is. It's still my life. And I want you to be parts of my life, those parts that I choose and allow you access to of my life. And in truth, what God wants us to have as far as a mindset is, it's Christ's life. When He died and bought your freedom, He bought you and all of you. And now you are Christ's. You belong to Christ. You've become a bondservant, a slave to Christ. You are His. Completely and totally. He's the boss. You see, this whole thing about Lord and Savior means that He's the boss. He calls the shots. It's His house. Now, let me ask you, as far as your eternity, do you want Christ to come into your house and live with you there for eternity? Or do you want to go to the place He's building for you? Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference in how our identity in Christ changes our lives. Why can we not find fulfillment in ourselves sometimes? It's because we were created to reflect the glory of God. And since the main goal in seeking an identity outside of Christ is to bring glory to ourselves, we will never find lasting fulfillment apart from Jesus Christ. You won't find it. You can look. People are looking all the time, and they're looking and looking and looking, and they're not finding it because it's not the way God designed it. Where are you tempted today to find your identity? Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your husband. Maybe it's in your career. Maybe it's in the things that you've got stored up and saved up. Maybe, I don't know where it is. It's possible that, I just wrote down a couple examples. Are you a woman who used to find fulfillment and praise in your job. You were like a real person and people looked up to you and depended on you. But now you find yourself tirelessly working at home with unappreciative children and with very little to show for it. And your identity was all wrapped up in your career, and now all of a sudden things have life has changed, and you find yourself in a different position, different spot, different place in life, and you go, who am I? Maybe you're a husband, and you've been focusing on that ladder of success, and you've been climbing and doing whatever it takes, whenever it takes, even at the expense of your own family. Or maybe you feel crippled because you've lost your job and now you are jobless, or maybe you're in a job where you find no fulfillment, and so far your career has been your identity, and now that's either a false identity or you wrapped yourself into something that doesn't last and has no sustaining value. Maybe, like some of you in this room are an empty nester. And you're not sure who you are anymore without a house full of people to take care of. You know, a lot of folks find themselves married for years and years and years and years, and they wake up one morning and the kids are gone, and you roll over and look at the person lying next to you in bed and you go, who are you? My life, my whole life has been tied up and wrapped up in raising my kids, and that's an important thing, folks. Okay? I'm not saying that these aren't necessary. It's important, but my whole life has been wrapped up in feeding and taking care of and buying and taking to the doctor and nourishing and nurturing. And now they're out on their own, and I don't know what to do anymore. Who am I? I'm not mom. I'm not mother. I mean, I really am, but they're not here, so who am I when they're not here? Who am I? Maybe you're a young mother. And you look around at these other young mothers, and your house just doesn't seem to operate the way theirs does. And you're wondering, why can't I be like so-and-so? The truth is, you're probably not seeing the real thing there either. Our identity in Christ changes everything about us. When we shed and give up our identity of who I am in me and realize who I am in Christ, there is a freedom in that. You're no longer tied to the bondage of expectations. And you know, there are things that still have to happen. It doesn't change activities and responsibilities and things, but it changes the whole outlook. And I'm going to walk us through, three or four kind of things that I've made note of how it changes our life when we understand that our identity is in Christ. Knowing that our identity is in Christ is one thing, but understanding how that, where the rubber meets the road, how that changes our life is sometimes quite something else. The first thing I want to mention to you is that we no longer chase after the desires of our flesh, you know, the things that please me for my sake, but instead seek to bring glory to God in all areas of my life. Remember, whose life is it anyway? If we've given our life to Christ, right? That's terminology we use. We give our life to Christ. That means you don't have it anymore. You've given it to Him. Some of you are Indian givers. Some of you are more like lenders. I'm going to loan my life to Christ for a little while. When I need it, I'll get it back. I've done gone to meddling now, haven't I? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I think they have these for the screen. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of the Father or the will of God lives forever. If we're not seeking to find our identity in Christ and in Christ alone, then we're seeking it in something else. Okay? And like I said, maybe it's the kids, maybe it's the spouse, maybe it's the career, maybe it's the money, maybe it's the hobbies, whatever it is. If you're seeking that in something else other than Christ, you're not going to find it. Not going to find true fulfillment. But when our identity is in the eternal things of Christ, those things that last and last and last forever and ever, we will not be crushed by our failures. Now, will you still fail? Absolutely. Okay? But will you be crushed by them? No, because your identity is in Christ, not in your success. You won't be crushed when you experience a time of weakness, because it's not you, it's Christ, and He's strong. When you fall into pride from what the world views as success, or you fall into great depression or despair over disappointments. How many of you have ever been disappointed in life? I've experienced disappointments in life. And when that becomes my identity, whatever that was that disappointed me, I'm doomed for disappointment also. Or tragedy even. Tragedy. We won't get lost seeking the attractive but empty things of this world, because Christ gives us a stable and an eternal hope in this world in the midst of all this unstable hopelessness. There is a when we have our identity, whatever our identity is, we put a lot of stock in that. Put a lot of faith in that. Put a lot of effort, a lot of work into that identity. Maybe you have a job and you have a title, and there are certain expectations of that. Maybe that job and title is mom, or maybe that job and title is dad, or grandfather, grandmother, whatever, or nana, papa, you know, all those various. But when that becomes who we are and that's our identity, there are disappointments that are bound to come. Okay? But when our identity, our primary identity is, I am a child of God. I am in Christ. There is never a disappointment in that. Never. Never. So we no longer chase after the things of this world, but we choose and seek to please God. The second thing is, we no longer fear the future. Now, this future is very... Let me change that. I was going to say this future is uncertain. The future is certain. God is absolutely certain about the future. Okay, we may not know it, and we may be uncertain about what God's plans are for the future, but the future is certain. Sometimes we just don't understand it. Okay? And Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15 say this: For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. You know what Abba means? It's a more endearing term than just father. It means daddy. You know, my father is still with us. I don't go up to him and say, "Good morning, father." It's, "Hello, daddy." There's something more intimate than, and that's what God invites us to have, that kind of relationship with Him and in Him. And if we have the peace of God, we have nothing to fear on this earth. Nothing. Look, our eternities are secured as adopted children of God. So we don't need to fear financial collapse. We don't need to fear losing our job, getting Ebola, the shingles, measles, whatever those bad things are, other diseases, cancer. Now, do those things happen? Yes. Are they painful and are they devastating sometimes? Absolutely, they can be. They're not easy. They're not painless. But we can have confidence that our Heavenly Father is sovereign over every moment of our life, and He will equip us for every single thing that He ordains or allows to come into our life. You see, there's a comfort. There's a comfort when we say, now hang on, this is happening to me? Okay. God is your life anyway. It's not my life. So if you're allowing this or you're bringing this, you've got a reason, you've got a plan, I'm on board with you. I'm not asking you to be on my train. I won't be on your train. So whatever it is, I know that my security, my eternity is not tied up in this life that you've given me here, but in the next one, in my eternity. And so whatever you got, Lord, I'm with you. See, Jesus bought us with His blood, His own, very own blood, so that we could claim our identity in the righteousness of Christ. It says, Scripture tells us to clothe ourselves in Christ and in His righteousness. My clothes, I'm inside of my clothes. My clothes are not inside of me. That would be awkward. We clothe ourselves. We can trust that God will provide us with everything we need in this world. Our identity in Christ has given us direct access to the Heavenly Father. Our identity in Christ has given us direct access to the Father. So we can come to Him with complete confidence and trust because it's His Son in whom we have our identity in Christ. In Christ. A third thing I made note of is that we have no need to judge or compare ourselves to others when we seek to please Christ alone in whom our identity is hidden. Hal made a great reference, an illustration, you know, that he had to get gas in his car twice. I'm hoping you drove more than just from the house to the gas station, okay? Because if you did, then there's other issues there. He's not embarrassed about going to get refilled up. Filled up again, refueled. It needs it. He's going to go do it. Doesn't care who's there. The truth is, there are other people there for the same reason. There are other people who have ignored that reason that are stuck on the side of the road because they didn't go to, you know what I mean? How many of you have been there? Okay. I'm talking about in the car. Okay. How many of you have been there spiritually? Don't go there. Here's the deal. When you go to the gas pump, you have to pull out the old wallet. You have to dig around and find a debit card or pull out some cash or something like that. And it costs you and you have to go in and you give it to the attendant, right? And they say, okay, you gave me this much. You have this much credit to go out and put that much gas in your car. And you go out there and you do that. And it costs you. Folks, when you come to get refueled spiritually, it is without cost. Without cost. The only thing that it costs you maybe is a little bit of pride, and that's a good thing because it ought to cost us that. You can't get fueled up if you're full of pride. It's kind of like having, you know, that vapor lock. Guys, you may know what I'm talking about, vapor lock, when there's the air pressure and you the fuel can't go in. It's like a kink in the line almost. It's already full of something else. You can't put more of something different in there because it's already full. When you're full of yourself, you can't get full of Christ. And that's just the truth. In Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 8 says this, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. Amen. For they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. There is a freedom when we realize that. Comparing ourselves to those around us or judging the decisions that other people make can suck the life right out of you. Now, we'll mention two terms to you, biblical convictions and personal convictions. Biblical convictions are hard and fast truths that God has given us in His Word to show us how to live. Pardon me. Biblical convictions, things we find in God's Word that show us how to live. Personal convictions, however, are the decisions that we make within our own families or within our own circle or within our own life that may be right for my family but wrong for another family. Okay, and it's easy to confuse these two and to judge others who have different personal convictions than I do. Now, as far as the biblical convictions, they are hard and fast. Personal convictions are different. This can also create insecurity in our own choices due to our desire to please man over God. So we've got to be careful that we're not imposing our personal convictions on others as if we were more godly than they are. Now we can ask Christ for wisdom in this area of personal convictions, and we can be open to hear and discern others' perspectives without judgment, and then walk in confidence that God is the Holy One. And we need to honor and please Him in our decisions, and in our purpose, and in our very life. What's right for me may not be right for you, personally. Scripturally, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Another way that we compare ourselves, and that's to the gifts and blessings. Now, we're all created with a purpose. That purpose is to glorify God, but in unique ways that God has created us. Okay? I may glorify God in one way, and that may not be your way. That's why in this church, when we have time of praise and worship, you have the freedom. If you want to come and wave a flag, I'm going to wave a flag. If you don't want to wave a flag, don't wave a flag. It's okay. If something comes over you and you want to raise your hand up, like as if you part of the song you were singing, you know, is very personal to you, and you're like, that's me. Like, I'm voting yes, that's me. That applies to me. You want to raise your hand? Raise your hand. If you don't want to raise your hand, don't raise your hand. If you want to stand up, stand up. If you want to sit down, sit down. If you want to lay on the ground, lay on the ground. It's okay. We glorify God in different ways. We're all created with the purpose of glorifying God, but in the unique ways God has created us. One person is filled with creativity, while another glorifies God with a beautiful voice. One person glorifies God as the boss, a CEO, whatever, of a company, and another glorifies Him by doing custodial work in the church. Are both important? Absolutely. How many of you want to come in and have a clean place to sit down on Sunday morning? Absolutely. It's important. One person glorifies God in the way they raise their family, while another glorifies God in the way that God has maybe called them to being single and has no family to raise. They can't glorify God by raising their family if they have no family. But they can glorify God nonetheless in whatever the situation and circumstances God has placed them in. We must seek to glorify Christ in the gifts and talents that He has uniquely chosen for us. Did you know that there is no one else just like you? No one. No one. In all the people that have ever been born on the earth, the billions and billions that have been born and lived before us and during our time, there is not one that is just like you. Not even your twin, if you have a twin. They're not just exactly like you. There's a difference. Don't get lost in the pursuit of being something God never created you to be. And don't miss out on the blessing of serving Christ where you are and in what He has chosen for you. The fourth and final thing that I want to mention to you is that don't be surprised when suffering comes. Notice I did not say don't be surprised if suffering comes. It seems to be the thought over the last several weeks, talking a little bit about suffering each time. Don't be surprised when suffering comes. But be confident that whatever it is, it will produce an eternal value. God doesn't waste anything. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says this. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. There is an identity, an identification in Christ. What do they call us when you receive Christ and become a Christian? We even take on the identity of the name. Christ becomes part of our name. We are a Christian, a Christian. If our identity is in Christ, then we are guaranteed, promised that one day we will identify with Him in His sufferings. Okay? Now, just as Christ's sufferings were not hopeless and wasted, was Christ's sufferings hopeless and wasted? No. There was value in it. Neither will yours be wasted. There is value in it. Christ's sufferings defeated sin and death, and therefore we identify with Him. And He uses suffering to put sin to death in us sometimes. And He uses it to make us reflect more of Him. Not only does suffering sanctify us, make us holy, set us apart, and give us that identity with Christ, but it assures us that after suffering with Him for a little while, remember we talked about this last week, after we suffered for a little while, one day we'll be glorified with Him. As long as you are in Him. Everyone suffers. But can everyone look back at their suffering with thankfulness and joy because of it? Only those with the hope of Christ can do that. There's no good that comes from suffering if we're apart from Christ. It's just miserable. But when we understand that it's really not even my suffering because it's not my life, it's Christ's, and He's doing it for a reason, and I'm on board with Him, so whatever it is, let's go. It's only temporary anyway, and it's going to accomplish something. And if I'm suffering this much, it's going to accomplish much, and I'm excited to see it. Let's look forward with anticipation. And now that's easy to say. Look at me. I understand. It's easier said than done sometimes. Nonetheless, it's where Christ wants us to be. Suffering gradually changes our earthly perspective into an eternal perspective. Now, we can spend our lives fearing pain and suffering, or we can thank God for the time of reprieve, because He gives us times of reprieve also. Then we can trust the seasons of suffering to Christ's great purpose in our lives, to identify with Him and become more like Him. Have you been changed by Christ? Where do you find yourself seeking your identity? Is it outside of Christ, in a job, in a career, in a family, in a relationship? Do you find yourself holding tightly to something in fear that you'll be lost without it? Let me tell you something. If you're not clinging to Christ, you'll be lost without Him for all of eternity. Sometimes, in God's grace, He allows the very thing we fear losing the most to be taken away, to reveal that we have sought our identity in something other than Him. As He grows us in understanding our true identity is in Him, as we grow in that and understand more and more that our true identity is in Christ, then we are freed to enjoy and glorify Him in the unique ways that He's created us. Praise God that He loves us enough to take our broken, sometimes rebellious hearts, and because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in whom we have our identity, offers us that identity. And let us not settle for anything else, folks. I just can't stress enough that if you're seeking your identity in something other than Christ, it's going to fade away. What led me to this whole idea and thought is I was singing a song one day, and it may have been one of the songs that Dad was singing. My dad wakes up singing a song every day. And usually it's an old hymn or a gospel song or something like that. And I love many of the old hymns, and they're near and dear to my heart. But as I was working on the sermon, it kind of came from a song called Rock of Ages. And I told Rebecca, I said, you know, I'm thinking about this song and this message, because in the song it says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. What does that mean? And I began to kind of look at it, you know, cleft for me. It's the rock of ages. Christ is the rock. And a cleft is a cutout or a groove or a crevice that has been placed there in the rock. And it's been placed there just for me. For me to get inside of the rock. Me in Christ. Not Christ in me. And again, I'm not teaching that that's not scriptural. I'm just saying that we have to understand the mentality here. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, carved out just for me to get inside and be safe. Let me hide myself in thee. And then He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Covers me there with His hand. I think of Moses on the mountain. I think of his time up there. I think of when God shows Himself. People can't look at directly upon God and live, right? It's one thing to know about Christ or to give to a godly cause, to a tithe. It's one thing to attend church or even teach about Christ. But to be in Christ is something altogether different. Being in Christ gives meaning to all those other things that we do. Being in Christ gives meaning to all those other things. Otherwise, it's just going through some motions and doing some stuff. Do you know Him today? Another song. Do not turn Him away, oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. Do you know Him today? Is your identity in Christ? It's who He's created you to be. So if your identity is not in Christ, if you've not been wrapped and clothed in Christ, you're not who you were designed to be. You're living in rebellion. You're living in sinfulness, whatever. You're living outside of what God's plan for you is. He says, my will is that none should perish, but that all should come. All. That's His desire for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been inviting Jesus to come and stay in your house from time to time, like a guest. Friend, today, He says, I'm tired of coming into your home. Won't you come into my home? Come and live in Christ. It's a better home anyway. It's a whole mentality shift that I think some of us need to get. It's not my life, and I invite Christ to become a part of it. He says, it's my life. If you gave it to me, it's now mine. How about you come and be part of my life, my plans, my purpose, my rewards, my future, and it's better than anything you could have ever dreamed up on your own. That's the truth, folks. That's what the Bible teaches us. Where are you in that? My hope and my prayer is that if you have placed your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, that you understand that that is your identity. I am Christ's. I belong to Christ. I am in Christ. There are a lot of folks, and the Bible references these, who will come up to Him in the last day when we see Him face to face and say, Lord, Lord, I recognize who You are. I know who You are. I've heard a lot about You. I've taught a lot about You. I know who You are. Lord, Lord, I've done a lot of things for You. And Jesus will say, depart from Me. I never knew You. You didn't become part of Me. You invited Me to come spend some time with You from time to time. But You never really became Mine. You never gave Yourself to Me. If you've given Yourself to Christ, rest assured, He doesn't turn loose. He doesn't turn loose of you. We are fickle. But we turn loose of stuff all the time. Christ holds firm. If you've never done that, or if you have been guilty of being a part-timer, there is no part-timer. You're either all in or you're all out. And folks, I'm afraid that there are many people walking this earth who think they're all in and they've never been in. Because if they were in, they would never be all out. I'm not sure where you are today, but today is a day you can firm it up. Now, if you're just dead set against it and you say, nope, I don't want to be in Christ. I want my own thing, my own way, and He can join me if He wants to. Then stand up and have the guts to say it at least. For crying out loud. But if that's not you and you say, huh, I know how I am. And I know that I'm full of disappointments and I even let myself down. I know that Christ never will, and that's what I want for me. Make that claim today too. I don't know where you are. I know that there's probably somebody that needs to handle some business with the Lord today. And I pray that if that's you today, don't walk out of here with unfinished business. Don't do that. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to respond, to do whatever it is that we need to do, Father. To firm up and to secure up our faith in You. Not faith in us. But our faith in You. Lord, the truth is, it's not even our faith. You've given us the faith to express our faith to You. It's a deep thought, but it's the truth. So Lord, I pray that no matter where we are today, and Lord, in a group this size, there are people all over the spectrum. I know that. It has to be. But just as I was saying earlier, Lord, that You didn't make any of us just alike. We express ourselves in different ways. You've called us to different purposes. Lord, there is no blanket thing that could be applied to all of us except for those spiritual truths that never change. But Lord, whatever you're saying to us as individuals, may we take to heart and may we respond to you with whatever that is in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. And all I'm going to ask you to do this morning is to just be real. Be real. I told you, you know, that if you need to receive Christ or confess to Christ, do that. And if you're unwilling to do that, at least come up to Him and say, hey, I'm not going to be dishonest with you. I'm going to shoot you straight. Just be genuine. Be real. This is your time. I'm going to ask Rebecca to come stand with me. The altar is open. We're here if you want to come and pray. I would love to pray with you. For whatever reason, I would love to pray with you. But this is your time. And I just want to challenge you. Whatever it is that the Spirit has spoken to you today, do something with it. Don't let it just go, oh, that was nice words. Or those were bad words. Let it affect you. Let it change you. A true identity in Christ will change you, period. We're going to sing the song. This is your time. You respond as the Spirit has led.